Hey, will you give our worship team a big round of applause? I just think they do a fabulous job every week. Amen. Well, today we are concluding our core values presentation. If you can see on the wall, we have all eight of our core values up. They're 1 through 8 over here and 1 through 8 over here as well. And we're excited as a church. We remind you that what our vision statement is, come as you are, love like family, and live the journey. I hope that gives you a picture of what we hope to create, not with just our efforts, but with God's help, that anybody that comes to this church can just come as they are. This isn't about just hanging out. This isn't about dress. This is about whoever you are. You don't have to change for us. You don't have to change for God, because God knows how to take care of you right where you are in the constant circumstances that you face. But also, the love like family. Everybody wants to be a part of a family. You know, I know sometimes we create this thick outer crust to protect us. But, you know, we really want to be a part of something that makes us feel like these people are family to me. I remember when Debbie and I were leaving Woodlake after 10 and a half years, and we told our kids on Saturday night before Sunday was going to be announced. And our daughter, she said, well, we can't, I'm sorry, just reminds me of the moment. But she says, what are we going to do? This is our family. Oh my gosh, it just ripped us apart. It just killed us that, you know, and I thought, but how cool it is that my daughter feels like this is her family and live the journey. I hope that every time you get a part of what we're doing, whether it's in a before church classroom or whether it's a small group or whether it's a setting like this, that you just feel like we're going somewhere. I hope that that excitement just stirs in your heart. But now these core values, let me remind you what these are, and they're just doing so much of a cool thing here and painting a picture for where we're going. Our core values is 3 things. I've said it every time, so I know you're getting sick of hearing it, but just get used to it. Because we got to remind ourselves that it's what we believe to the core of our being. It's not just a superficial feeling. It's not something that just goes with the wind, but it's what we feel deep inside. And if you've never been here, or if this is brand new to you, this is something that's kind of relatively new to the church, I want you to know these core values, they reflect how we feel way deep down inside after all of that fluff and all of this stuff up top. Down inside, this is what our church really, really feels deeply. That's why we call it a core value. It's what stirs our conviction. It is the conscience of our Holy Spirit. It's the character that we see lived out in our life. And another thing is the foundation on which we build our beliefs. Hopefully that when you see all of these fully operational, that you'll understand, I see with my own eyes through what this church is doing, this is what they believe. They've built this. This is their core values. And on top of that, here's where the ministries are. But I love the last one, especially the most. It is the standard by which we will measure our behavior. Now we'll know how to act, because there is a preferred idea. There's a picture being painted for us. This is how we want to behave. This is the kind of people we want to do. It will guide you when you go to the restaurant. It will guide you when you have your conversations at home. It will guide you as your student in the classroom. By the way, what's up with the sling here, okay, dude? What's up? Stand up with that. What is this? This is a stud football player from Verdigris High School. Is this temporary or this? Okay, all right, sit back down. Sit back down. I just wanted you to see him, because when he's an Oklahoma suitor and he's real famous and gets the Heisman Trophy, you'll want his autograph. You'll want his autograph. These core values are so important to us because they tell us so much about ourselves. Today's core value is this. It's the last one over here, number 8. We value our commitment to missions. We have it on the back wall over here as well. Now today, if you're not careful, you'll go, okay, this is one of those technical things the church does. Some of these things are core values that they stir us in the emotional level. Some of us attack us and thrive us on the spiritual level. And sometimes it seems to be just kind of like or intellectual, like this is just another thing the church does. But if you let it be that, you're going to miss it big. You're going to miss it big, because missions is extremely, extremely important and valuable to God. It's valuable to us. When I came here, I was so excited about the history that this church has had in missions. It's mission support, it's missions giving, it's missions involvement, the things that they had done. I've heard about all the trips that happened before I ever got here. Back when Brother Owens had a perm and curly hair and it was dark, well, it's still dark. Ask him why, I don't know. You have to figure out why his hair is still dark and mine isn't. But anyway, it was really cool. You know, back then they had these trips. It was awesome. By the way, Brother Owens is not here this morning. Hey, you don't have to tell him I said that. This is what it says. Our core value. We value our commitment to missions. We followed it up with this. We will be involved in missions worldwide through consistent prayer, giving, and service. Now, you got to be careful that that word worldwide doesn't mean the East Coast and Left Coast and everything out of that. No, it means worldwide. We're a part of the world. So it's the world that we live in. It's the world we walk out to. It's the work we work in, we go to school in, plus areas of the world that we'll never, ever set foot on this. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 and 20. Jesus gave us this wonderful commandment, this wonderful picture of what we are to do with our lives right before he ascended into heaven. And Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples that were gathered around him before he went up. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Tremendous verse of Scripture that gives us this preferred picture of what Jesus wants us to do with our lives after we give our hearts to him and where he wants us to go with that. Now, I have a couple of gentlemen that are going to come, and they're going to give a wonderful presentation. This is a part and an arm of what our Royal Rangers program is. One of them can't be here today, but we'll hear from him again in just a minute with video. This is Ethan Clark, and this is Cole Osborne. Will you give them a big hand before they come?
You're on your own, buddy.
This is a very missions-orientated church. Am I on now? Okay, sweet. All right, this is a very missions-orientated church. We follow by what Pastor Dave just said, what is the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, which says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We support many missionaries, both locally and abroad. We support 41 foreign missionaries, 23 home missionaries, 9 missions projects, and we send $5,300 to Springfield each month, which adds up to $63,600 every year.
Okay, so you may have heard of like Convoy of Hope, Speed the Light, BGMC, or Light for the Lost, but have you heard of Royal Rangers International, or also known as RRI? RRI is a missions endeavor of the Assemblies of God, World Missions, dedicated to evangelizing and equipping the next generation through the worldwide ministry of Royal Rangers. Now, we have a short video for you that'll kind of show you a little bit more about what RRI is about.
RRI is in over 70 nations worldwide with more than 200,000 Royal Rangers International. Australia is the largest outside of the U.S. But unlike here in the U.S., men and boys, women and girls are involved in the Royal Ranger program.
The goal of RRI is to reach students for Christ and to teach them biblical doctrine, as well as the principle of moral conduct and to keep them active in church leadership. We have another short video for you from our fellow ranger, Elvin, who was unable to be here with us today. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I hope that Cole and Ethan didn't bore you too much. I'm sorry I couldn't make it today. I'm currently visiting my brother at the Air Force Academy. As you've probably heard, we're having a silent bake sale auction to support Alyssa Deal. So make sure and bring those wallets out and make those bids, because 15 minutes after service, we're going to close up and announce the highest bidders. Thank you.
The only thing missing under Elving's picture is some numbers and some lines. 6 foot, 5 foot, whatever. That was awesome. Hey, guys, thanks a million. I tell you what, Royal Rangers is doing a powerful thing beyond the local church. My friend Trey Hancock is a home missionary to the Muslims that live in Dearborn, Michigan. And through Royal Rangers, he has established a foothold in that community. And he runs a Royal Ranger Royal Ranger group there, and it's amazing. He couldn't do anything else. He tried all kinds of different things, and it was Rangers that got him into that community, and so many people have been saved. Young boys have been saved because of that powerful, powerful illustration of what goes on. Speaking of worldwide, Neil introduced me to a young lady from South Korea that will be their guest for, is it a year, Neil? For a year. And I would love to say her name and everything. I don't, but she's up here with the Roberts. So if you have the opportunity, say hi to her and make her feel welcome here in Claremore, America. Okay? Hey, getting back to this, we can break missions here in the local church, and this can be like a stale presentation if you're not careful, but you can break it down into four areas. The first one is simply this. We are senders. We are senders. God may not have called you to go to the mission field. God may not have told you, go here, go there, whatever. Because you hear these incredible stories about how people got called into missions. Some of them at youth camp. Some of them in places where they were just right there, just minding their own business, going to youth camp. There's an altar situation, and God lays his heart on their, his hand on their heart to go to a foreign land. That's incredible how that happens. But that's not us. But God has called us to send them, to bring these wonderful people into the reality that this is what God has said to their heart, and send them to support them and get them there. It's an amazing thing about the Assemblies of God, if you know anything about it. This fellowship was primarily formed because of missions. Most of us understand it's Pentecostal, and that seems to be the big flagship, but underneath all of that was missions, 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 that God has called us to go and go and go and to send people. Romans 10:14 says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody going and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ? We are senders. We're also suppliers. We are the base camp, if you will. We're the base of operations for missions. We are the ones that give them the resources, and many times it's more financial than anything else as far as the influences and the impression that we have. But we are the suppliers. Now, I want you to think back, theoretically, because most of you don't even go back this far. But what missions was a long time ago, it was as suppliers, we took what we didn't need anymore or couldn't use anymore, and we would box it up, we'd put it on crates, and we'd put it on a ship, and we'd send it over there. The WMs, I heard all of this. I didn't grow up in church, so I was never a part of this. The closest thing came to this was Labor Day sale with my mom. My mom would take pecans that were picked from the church property. She would go and she'd make pecan peanut brittle. That's the only way I know how to say it. I've got to put peanut in there. Where? Pecan peanut brittle, and she called it holy pecan peanut brittle because it came from the pecans on the church property, sold them at Labor Day so that they could give it to missions. Woohoo! All I know is she baked a bunch of that stuff, and it left the house. We never got to eat it. So I got a little bitter at missions, you know what I'm saying? But we are suppliers. We do that financially. Back then, we used to take our stuff, and we would send it. Now, today, I know you understand this because most of us understand it ourselves, in that the better way to help our missionaries is not by taking our stuff or anything else and sending it, but it's by financially giving, because they have monetary systems over there that will assist them better. They can buy, in most cases, where they're at, what they need with the money that we give them than us taking that stuff and sending it. It hasn't changed. It's just instead of buying something or putting something in a box, now we send them, and it's financially where we go. Now, let me help you as a church, the difference between a tithe and an offering, because this is always a part of the picture. My tithe is the 10% that I give to the church as a part of my increase, my salary, whatever somebody pays me, whatever, you understand how that goes. My offering is above and beyond that. My offering is above and beyond that. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and it has been my habit, and many of you, your habit, is that's the day that I not only pay my tithe, but I pay a missions commitment. And I pay a little bit on the building project that we have, the remodeling. And there's another missionary, it's Network 21-1, that I help that as well. Now, the reason I mention that is because that's how we support the missions. Do you hear these young boys? $5,300 a month we send to Springfield to help these several missionaries, these projects. That's what we do. And anytime we don't get it, we send it anyway. It comes right out of the tithes, if nothing else. I'm hoping that without some big promotional or commercial type thing, that you will strongly consider making missions a part of your monthly giving. That you will commit to doing something. Now, I know how this goes, because I used to be right there where you are. It was a great thing for the pastor to say, but I didn't have anything to give. Can I just tell you, there's two things that you need to remember. There's nothing that isn't worthy of giving. Whatever you have, however big or how small, it's all going to help. It's going to add up, and we're going to be able to do it. But here's the other thing that I had to learn. If I would just do it, I would begin this habit of doing it and never had to learn it back again. You know, it's just it's part of participation, and that's what we do as suppliers. This missions report we talked to you is incredible. But missions is labor intensive. And what we have to do is we have to supply these people with the labor they have. BGMC, it creates all kinds of literature for children's ministry all over the world. Speed the Light with our youth. They buy all of this equipment. They bought me a vehicle when I was driving with Youth Alive, and I was a home missionary in Oklahoma. All of these things are things that have to be taken care of so that ministry can happen. Okay, the third thing is this. Not only are we senders, not only are we suppliers, but we're prayers. I got to tell you, I really should leave this the last one. I'm going to put it right here. We need to pray for missions. Our work is done here on earth, but the war is won in heaven. Now, I understand that concept, but what we have to do is we have to be disciplined to go a little bit further and understand that as I pray, only God knows what needs to happen down the road, across the ocean, and anywhere else. Only God knows what that need is, to supply the need for the missionary or to break down walls of opposition, to make things happen. Do you realize that it's tough? It's tough to buy a piece of property in the state of Oklahoma because of all of the codes and all of the different things you got to go through and all the paperwork. Can you imagine what it's like to do it in a foreign country when all they see is American dollars? I mean, missionaries most of the time have to battle not only the natural things of getting their work done, establishing a church, buying a building, buying property, building Bible schools, but you know what else they have? They have to deal with local governments. Most of these people, you know what? Their local idea, if anything, is a bribe. That's amazing how that works. Well, you know what? God knows how to give our missionaries favor so that they don't have to spend half of their money bribing somebody, because you know what? We won't do that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, because I don't know all the stories. But I know one thing. God knows how to get in there and not only give them favor with local governments, but also give them favor so that the message will be received. Hey, can I just tell you something? If you've ever gone overseas, you want somebody praying for you. There's a lot of us that we won't travel. You know why? We're a little concerned about traveling right now. Missionaries, they don't have a chance to say, I'm not going to go because of all of the threats and because of all of the dangers. God has called them. So we need to be diligent. We need to be careful. We need to be cautious. But we need to also obey God's command. So our job is to be prayers for these people. Missions is always going to be more spiritual than it is physical. What's accomplished in missions is always going to happen more in the spiritual realm than on the physical realm. Hey, listen, bricks going up and walls being built and signs putting on little churches. I love so many different ideas of what our Assembly of God missionaries are doing. Some of them, and you've seen some of them come and make their presentation, they just put up a metal roof with a couple of poles on it, and they call that a church. It's amazing what happens. It's fabulous what's happening. And we need to understand that, man, that's a physical thing, but prayer is what took care of that. Prayer is the currency and the lifeblood of missions, and we need to be a part of that. Sure, there's a human component. I remember when Debbie and I went to Siberia back in the early 90s. Whew, what was that eye-opening? I wish I had the time to tell all this, but I just want to vent just for a second, okay? Don't ever fly Aeroflot, okay? This is a Russian airline, all right? You get on this puppy, all right? They have primer is the primary color of the plane, okay? Every wheel had a different layer of tread on it. I walk up the ramp, and here's Ursula, or whatever her name was, up at the top, and I joked, I said, yeah, but she didn't shave her arms. She put her arm up, her sleeve, there's a toupee under her arm right there, okay? I get up there, and I said, I bet they're going to seat us in the livestock section. I walk in, I turn right, and I hear chickens chirping. There's a lady sitting there with this wicker basket, and it's got a net, and she's got chickens. And this guy walks in with a dog on a leash, you know, no cane or anything. Oh, man, we got on this airplane. Have you ever had a lawn chair, just one of those folding lawn chairs? You know, it's real cheap, aluminum frame. And I think that's what the seats were like. We took off, and the light, the cover on the light, two of them fell down. They're just swinging in the aisle, you know. Now we're flying, and I'm going, this is nuts. We landed, and all the seat backs went and fell like this. You know what our in-flight meal was? A piece of broiled chicken and a hard-boiled egg in a baggie. I did not eat it. We were praying to land. And our fearless leader, Tom Green, said, oh, well, hey, listen, this is the safest airline in the world. Have you ever heard of an Aeroflot airplane landing? I said, no, because they landed in Siberia. Who's going to know? Nuts. There's the human component. We had so much fun. When we left, I thought I was going to have to peel Debbie off the little girls because they were all about the size and the age of my little girl. And they had those scunchy things or whatever. What, I don't know what they are. They were the wad hair deal things there. And Debbie's boo-hooing and I'm boo-hooing. But the reason I was boo-hooing is that my luggage got lost in Moscow. And I had to wear all these other people's pants and all of them were too fat for me. There's always a human component. I went to Argentina. Those are awesome things. There's always a financial component. We need to help these people. But the most important part of missions is the spiritual component. You have no idea how much power there is in you just being in this position and saying, God, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever they need, lay it on my heart. But I pray today for our missionaries and for the missions effort of our church. Because not only are you praying for someone in Argentina and Siberia, but you're praying for someone right here in this town that's through our missions efforts that are going to need to hear that Jesus Christ loves them just as much as he loves us. And that's what we need to do. The last thing is this. We are goers. We go. We go and we participate in missions. The last and the most important thing Jesus said before he left was go. And if you have your picture on leaving and going to Siberia or Argentina, you have missed the point. It's that God says, go out those doors and make disciples. Go out those doors and be an extension of my love to the world. When you need groceries, they don't come to you. You go to them. When you need gas, the gas station doesn't come to you. You go to the gas station. And when Jesus wants the world to know about eternal life, he appoints me and you, and he says, please go and share my message. He didn't say send. He didn't say give. He said go. Go. We're good at giving. We're good at sending. We're good at supplying. But God says, I want you to be a part of the going. Jesus told his followers several times, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. But then he told them, go to them. Those who do not know him. Those who do not know me. I got to tell you some opportunities that are coming up. It's just wonderful. Little Zornios, Jeff spoke just a couple of weeks ago. It's been on their heart to do a missions trip, and they have pulled together with Adam Quinn down in Costa Rica. And next July, we are going to team with them and send a group of people to Costa Rica on a missions trip. John and Jen have a heart to send some people to Alaska next year. So if you want to go to that, that's another thing that we're doing. God's laid it on my heart, just right up the road, about an hour from here. There's a young man named Jason Byers who, his heart broke for Barnes Doll. They were going to close the church. He told me, he said, let me come. He said, I'll pastor this church. He moved into one of their Sunday school rooms. He has been living in the church in a Sunday school room with his family of two kids and his wife, just reaching out to that little community. They have got that congregation back up to about 54 people. The finances are finally paying for their bills. But you know what? I just got an email the other day, and someone from up north, a good friend of mine, Darrell Wooten, he's a part of the district leadership. He said, I have a heart for these guys to get out of the home, and he's trying to raise $50,000 so that they can buy some land and put a little mobile home on that land. But I want to go beyond that. I want to take a team of men who could just go up there, maybe a trip or two a week or whatever, and just redo some of the stuff in his church, his congregation, his sanctuary. It's laying on my heart. Things like this are coming up, and we want you to go. We want you to go with us. Some of those are just right up the road. Some of those are outside of our perimeters, but we just want you to go. Listen, we will not allow the history of this church to become the future of this church only. We don't want our future to be filled with past tense stories. We want it to be with current, relevant, everyday stories of what we're doing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in missions. We will take our history and build on it. I love the stories. I love the history we've had here, but it can only thrust us to where God really wants us to go. So why do we do all this? What's the motivation? I mean, literally, what moves us to go and to give and to pray and to be a part of all this? Well, it's not the command only. The command is very simple. We are not just foot soldiers and followers of Jesus Christ. It's not just the command and go and make disciples. That's not all of it. It's a part of it. It's not just commission alone. Listen, this wasn't just because you were recruited. And it's not just the commitment alone. This isn't just about, hey, I signed up for it, so here we go. But it's about this. It's the compassion of Christ. It's when the heart of Jesus Christ touches us, we are moved. We're moved to do something and be a part of an action. I am compelled by the same love that God gave us through his love for the world. Can I remind you of it again? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the cry of my heart, and it's attached to a God-sized purpose. It's not me alone. A God-sized purpose. Isn't it cool when God gives you something that is bigger than you, stronger than you, and you know that it's going to be significant? And the cool thing is you may think you're doing it for others, but most of the time we've come home on every mission trip and we have said this, that changed my life. That rocked my world. It made me different. It caused me to be a person that changed. And it's amazing how God does. It is the promise that God will not let anyone perish. Let me remind you of the definition of perish. It is to die or be destroyed by violence. Can I tell you there's a lot of people perishing overseas by violence? Can I just tell you that it's in my heart to very as soon as possible to get with the chief of police in Claremore, Brother Stan Brown, and say, how can our church support you, our local policemen? I don't know if they're worried about it, but they should be, that somebody would target one of them to be assassinated. There are things that we need to rally up and do, and this is the heart cry of the church. I want to show you the short video, and I'll come back and conclude our service.
Maybe the chaos isn't new. Endless war, expanding threats, devastating illness, all of it terrifying, all of it piling up. But one thing has changed. It's never been easier to take it all in, to see the chaos unfold in real time, while only barely being touched by it. It's never been more possible to be of the world without really being in it. Will those of us who worship Christ stand at the water's edge, wishing for the lost to be warmed and fed? Or will we spend our lives in worship by becoming the living sacrifices, who stop hoping the chaos won't reach us and start carrying the hope of the gospel. To those already drowning, maybe it's time to go.
Go is the prevailing thought that Jesus left his disciples with before he ascended into heaven. So what would you do? To what length would you go through for your kids, for your grandkids? What would you change? What would you sacrifice? What would you do if you knew it would make a difference? If you knew you could change a life? You answer that question? And I'll tell you, welcome to missions. Welcome to missions. Only God can give us the encouragement, the compassion, the desire, the relationship for others that causes us to do something. Our core value is we value our commitment to missions. Here in Claremore, across the oceans, down the road, in Alaska, Costa Rica, and everywhere, God is going to help us to do that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to sing this song, Mighty to Save, as they do. Here's what I want you to do. I want to give you just a little direction. I'm not going to call anyone to the altar today, but as you sing this song with us in just a second, I want you to ask that question of yourself to God. God, what do you want me to do? Now, some of you, it will be continue. Keep doing what you're doing. Some of you, he will ask you, become a part of that supply line. Start giving and helping these missionaries and the church support them in the way that they do. Some of you, he's going to ask you to pray. And you're a praying person, but he's going to give you a component that's unique and very different today. It's called missions. And some of you, you're going to begin to pray for the ones that haven't even been sent yet. They don't even know. Would you be brave enough to ask that God would just lay it upon one of our students to go into this world? Would we not do that? Why are we doing a bake sale today? It's because Alyssa Dill accepted the call. And she's on a campus in Arkansas. I mean, isn't that far enough? Isn't that far enough? Of course it is. This isn't her home anymore. And it may still be the United States, but she has called. She's received a call and she's gone. So I encourage you to be a part of that silent auction. But more than anything, say, God, the thing I know I can begin doing today is simply pray. Pray, what is your will you please help us and assist us in making this core value more than just a banner? Will you help us make this core value just leap off the wall? We value our commitment to missions. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, in the closing moments of this service, will you stir our hearts? Will you minister to us? Father, we know that you never leave us out of the loop. If there's needs in our life, if there's hurts in our life, you always take care of us so that we can be a part of what's going on. We're not to be used as a pawn. We're not just a worthless piece of the part of the picture. Instead, we're the most important component. If we would pray, if we would give, if we would go, Lord, what difference would we make? Whose life would be changed? Along with ours, whose eternity would be changed? I pray, Father, as we conclude this service with this song, that it be the cry of our heart, that our commitment to mission would be very evident, but even further, our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. If you're in the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus, but today something, this thing called missions, you see all over it, that's the compelling feeling that God loves everyone, and that's including you. And if today you don't know him, but you want to, today, he just simply wants to step into your life and offer you eternal salvation. He wants to tell you that He knows how to take care of your future, your brokenness, your relationships, the hurt of your heart. He knows how to foresee the future and tell you what to do and how to guide you and lead you. And if that component is missing in your life today, call upon Him and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Will you stand to your feet? Let's join with the worship team this morning.